Yeah, this has been A Different Nature. You can go to the website, kboo.fm, and the playlist will be posted right there right now. Look for A Different Nature, and the show can be podcast for the next couple weeks. Union of Time Thieves is up next, so keep tuned here at KBOO Portland.
Becky, and I'm your host for today's program. I'm a member of the Union of Time Thieves, which was created to reclaim the world we all live in from the powers of alienation. Using the writings and tools developed by the Situationist International, we hope to break free of the spectacle and to inspire others to join our cause, the revolutionary jamming of culture. Every show focuses on a theme, and this month, the Union of Time Thieves is exploring the notion of the festival in both historical and practical contexts. To introduce the subject, let's consider this illustration, found in Theses on the Paris Commune, written by Guy Debord, Attia Kotiani, and Raoul Van Egem. The Commune was the biggest festival of the 19th century. Underlying the events of that spring of 1871, no one can see the insurgents feeling that they had become the masters of their own history, not so much on the level of, quote, governmental politics, as on the level of their everyday life. Consider, for example, the games everyone played with their weapons. They were, in fact, playing with power. It is also in this sense that Marx should be understood when he says that, quote, the most important social measure of the commune was its own existence and acts. It is important to know the definitions of things as well. What does the word festival mean? The origin of this idea comes from medieval Latin, festivalis dies, or holy day. By way of Old French, the synonym for festival, feast, first came into usage as a noun circa 1200. There are some other important connections that the word festival has throughout the writings of the Situationist International. The adjective ludic originates from the Latin noun ludus, meaning play, game, sport, or pastime. This concept was important to the Situationists, and they borrowed a new binomial nomenclature for their idealized state of man, homo ludens, from Johann Huizinga, who studied recreation in the 1950s. Huizinga's definition of play is such, quote, summing up the formal characteristic of play, we might call it a free activity, standing quite consciously outside of ordinary life as being not serious, but at the same time absorbing the player intensely and utterly. Finally, we come to the idea of the construction of situations, which was first put forth by Debord in the Report on the Construction of Situations, published in 1957. The sense of the report is to fulfill human primitive desires and pursue a superior passional quality. The main goal of the Situationist International, in this sense, is precisely the setting up of environments that favor such fulfillments and to remain in a state of play everlasting. As such, you may notice that the definitions of most of these words, festival and play particularly, describe specifically defined moments and amounts of time. Let's take a look at some more of the source material.
Bernard Suits, the late great philosopher, sums it all up in what I consider the single most convincing and useful definition of a game ever devised. Playing a game is the voluntary attempt to overcome unnecessary obstacles. In fact, as Brian Sutton Smith, a leading psychologist of play, once said, the opposite of play isn't work, it's depression. As Harvard professor and happiness expert Talben Shahar puts it, we're much happier enlivening time rather than killing time. There is one more important emotional benefit to hard fun. It's called Fiero, and it's possibly the most primal emotional rush we can experience. Fiero is the Italian word for pride, and it's been adopted by game designers to describe an emotional high we don't have a good word for in English. Fiero is what we feel after we triumph over adversity. You know it when you feel it and when you see it. That's because we almost all express Fiero in exactly the same way. We throw our arms over our head and yell. The fact that virtually all humans physically express Fiero in the same way is a sure sign that it's related to some sort of our most primal emotions. Our brains and bodies must have evolved to experience Fiero early on the human timeline. And in fact, neuroscientists consider it part of our caveman wiring. Fiero, according to researchers at the Center for Interdisciplinary Brain Sciences Research at Stanford, is the emotion that first created a desire to leave the cave and conquer the world. It's a craving for challenges that we can overcome, battles we can win, and dangers we can vanquish. Scientists have recently documented that Fiero is one of the most powerful neurochemical highs we can experience. It involves three different structures of the reward circuitry of the brain, including the mesocorticolimbic center, which is most typically associated with reward and addiction. Fiero is a rush unlike any other rush, and the more challenging the obstacle we overcome, the more intense the Fiero. In 1975, Csikszentmihalyi published a groundbreaking scientific study called Beyond Boredom and Anxiety. The focus of the study was a specific kind of happiness that Csikszentmihalyi named flow, the satisfying, exhilarating feeling of creative accomplishment and heightened functioning. Csikszentmihalyi argued that the failure of schools, offices, factories, and other everyday environments to provide flow was a serious moral issue, one of the most urgent problems facing humanity. Why should we needlessly spend the majority of our lives in boredom and anxiety when games point to a clear and better alternative? In the past, the deepest experiences of flow had required years of practice to achieve, or extraordinary settings. Otherwise, it required being immersed in a truly spectacular and unusual context, like dancing in the crowded streets during carnival, or skiing down an exceptionally challenging mountainside. As Corey Lee M. Keyes, a psychology professor at Emory University, explains, flow is considered part of the science of happiness, but not all. It is more of a temporal state than a trait or condition of human functioning. While there are studies on how to prolong it, flow is not seen as something that people can live within all the time. It can't just be all flow all the time. We have to find ways to enjoy the world and relish life even when we're not operating at our peak human potential. It can't just be all flow all the time. We have to find ways to enjoy the world and relish life even when we're not operating at our peak human potential.
A human being's life is a sequence of chance situations, and if none of them is exactly similar to another, at least these situations are, in their immense majority, so underdifferentiated and so dull that they perfectly present the impression of simplitude. The corollary of the state of affairs is that the singular, enchanting situations experienced in life strictly restrain and limit this life. We must try to construct situations, i.e., collective environments, ensemble of impressions determining the quality of a moment. If we take the simple example of a gathering of a group of individuals for a given time, and taking into account acquaintances and material means at our disposal, we must study which arrangement of the site, which selection of participants, and which incitement of events suit the desired environment. Surely the powers of a situation will broaden considerably in time and in space with the realizations of unitary urbanism or the education of a situationist generation. The construction of situations begins on the other side of the modern collapse of the idea of the spectacle. It is easy to see what extent the very principle of spectacle, non-intervention, is attached to the alienation of the old world. Inversely, we see how the most valid of revolutionary cultural expressions have sought to break the spectator's psychological identification with the hero, so as to incite the spectator into activity by provoking his capabilities to revolutionize his own life. The situation, thus, is made to be lived by its constructors. The role of the public, if not passive, at least to walk on, must ever diminish, with the share of those who cannot be actors but, in a new meaning of the term, livers, will increase. We reply, it is not a question of knowing whether this interests you, but rather if you yourself could become interesting under new conditions of cultural creation. Revolutionary artists and intellectuals, your role is not to shout that freedom is abused when we refuse to march with the enemy's freedom. You do not have to imitate bourgeois aesthetes who try to bring everything back to what has already been done, because the already done does not make them uncomfortable. You know that creation is never pure. Your role is to search for what will give rise to the international avant-garde, to join in its program of constructive critique, and to call for its support.
We understand that unitary urbanism is without borders. It intends to establish a complete unity of the human milieu in which separations like work, leisure, or collectivity, private life, will finally be dissolved. But beforehand, unitary urbanism's minimum action is the terrain of play extended to all desirable structures. This terrain will be at the level of complexity of an old city.
The idea behind the Union of Time Thieves to begin with was to be able to reclaim free creative time from work, from all these things that take time away from you, that ostensibly that being your very most valuable commodity that you have in your hands, you are able to control what you do. So what you heard was the effect of reclaiming time to do something creative with it. This is just one example, and we'll explore more after this.
Hi, this is Sun Lee, KABU's membership director. I want to thank you for being a member and a listener to KABU. I also wanted to share this listener's comment on why they support KABU.
KABU is part of what makes Portland awesome. Sherry from Portland, Oregon.
We hope that you feel the same. Please support your community and your local radio station by going to kboo.fm/give.
You can help KABU end the spring membership drive early. Donate right now and be entered into the spring membership drive sweepstakes. One lucky KABU supporter will win a prize package that includes a 6-month VIP pass to the Crystal Ballroom that allows you and a guest entry to every show, even if it's sold out, as well as access to the VIP viewing area. A 1-week artist residency at Southwestern Lodge in Seaview, Washington on the Long Beach Peninsula, $200 in gift certificates to the Portland Saturday Market, and 10 treatments at Working Class Acupuncture. For every $15,000 we raise between now and May 5th, we will remove one day from the spring membership drive, which will be from May 6th through May 16th. Thank you for your early support. All the funds raised during this time will be applied to the spring membership drive goal of $95,000. A donation is not required to enter the sweepstakes. For more info, kboo.fm/2015springsweeps.
I'm Dr. Demento. This is KBOO Portland, and you are now in the control of the Union of Time Thieves.
Bye. Bye. The upcoming festival must be tied with technology. It is in the world in which we've adapted and is imbued with our intentions. It is not wholly controlled by authority and is simply another aspect of us that has been subject to the spectacle's oppression. As we learn to speak with new voices, which sound the same as voices we've used before but with new meaning, we will remake language. Two people playing separately can make one song, and it can be fueled with little more than half a vision. That's how strong our human connection can be. There are two forms of play at play here. The kind you've assigned to instrumentation, and the kind that we see when video games are played. Because each kind is imbued with actual organic touch, they can translate to each other. When we make art, with any interpretation of the word art, really, with our hands, we can speak through art as if all we made were words. Art is the thievery of time we rarely are encouraged to do, and for reasons relating to the general control of the alienated. It's the most subversive way of speaking, and the one everyone has available at their fingertips. There's an insidious double barrier to entry here. One created by our institutions, and one created through paths that exist in our own minds. Perhaps we need to live more jazz, and to have actual jazz in our lives. Perhaps we need to live more jazz, and to have actual jazz in our lives, in order to increase and triplicate the festival of human existence. In a way, it's the belief that bee venom can have a curative effect, and you can electively select where the thousands of bee stings we suffer every day might physically, actually be placed. In this we all share, in this pain, and a collective and collaborative music salve heals us all. The truth of the soft fabric of emotion is that it is elevated by gusts of input, pushed this way and that by popular feeling. A key change drops the pressure, and the tension tightens your ribs. Centers of perception exist in the two realms of consciousness and unconsciousness, just as we can see with our eyes shut, blindsided, awake or not. Benahim said, "People who talk about revolution and class struggle without referring explicitly to everyday life, without understanding what is subversive about love, and what is positive in the refusal of constraints, such people have corpses in their mouths. Let it be a challenge to each of us to live authentically in the everyday."
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Union of Time Thieves. My name is Becky, and I want to thank a bunch of great people who made this episode possible. Aspen and Shampton were our musical folks. Ha ha ha. That's funny. But, yeah. Anyway, thank you so much. And Sarah from KDRT, thank you for coming up and helping out with stuff. And this is Becky signing off. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Suddenly, it's Sudden Theater.
Thank you to Aspen
and Radio. Oh my God. I don't know. Interludes and for your practical demonstration.
No, piano on the one, please.